Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. Hey there, it's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. I'm Dan Hurst, and once again, we are in the hallowed halls of Calvary Inglewood with Mark Halleck.
What's
Hello,
up, guys?
Mark Halleck.
Hey guys.
Hey, we just came back from lunch, by the way.
How was your meatloaf?
It was an eventful lunch. I had meatloaf. I walked in and she handed me the senior menu. Didn't even ask. Handed me the senior menu.
That's funny.
Yeah, I know. It's true. So we got there and we were ready to pay, and I realized we're about two blocks from the church. I had left my wallet back here at the church. So they had to stay there while we came back to the church and I got my wallet and then went back and paid them. And then Dan Hurst stayed here. Dan had to do some voiceover work for some major motion pictures while we're gone. So he couldn't go to lunch. So we're bringing lunch back to him.
Yep.
So we get back to the church and realize we left the lunch back at the restaurant. So we had to go back to the restaurant to get the lunch. So we went to lunch.
We had three different trips.
And I went back and forth from the church three times. And I ate my meatloaf, the senior meatloaf.
The senior meatloaf.
And it was senior meatloaf. Man, just in case, for those of you keeping score at home, that's what happened in the last 45 minutes.
I'm trying to think, how do I transition this into what we're talking about today?
What are we talking about today, Dr. Hurst?
Listen, you know, one of the things that we have been asked before, actually, by other pastors, you know, that you have any ideas? I'm, you know, talking to another church, yada, yada, yada. And you came up with, you found this article on 12 questions I might ask a pastor search team.
Yeah, this is great stuff. Chuck Lawless, who doesn't write anything that's not great, Chuck came up with 12 questions you should ask the pastor search team when they're interviewing you to be their pastor. And or you could phrase this, 12 questions I wish I'd asked the pastor search team of the church I am now serving.
Right.
Or if you're thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me, oh, wait, my friend, it does. Because you may have a pastor friend who calls you and says, hey, this church is interviewing me. What should I do? Now, thanks to Chuck Lawless and Revitalize and Replant, you will know exactly how to answer them. You will be the expert in this.
What a great setup.
I know. I worked
hard
on that.
That was impressive.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's the best I got.
Wow.
It's downhill from
here.
I'm
in, man. I'm in.
Okay,
so
the number one question you should ask a pastor search team when they interview you is,
what is your church's doctrinal statement, and how much attention is your congregation given to understanding and affirming it?
And when you ask what your church doctrinal statement is, if they don't, they look at you like, oh, we got to go find that. We don't really know that.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you
need to know. That's all. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It'll be crickets for most.
It'll be crickets. You mean our mission statement? No, your doctrinal statement. Mm-hmm. I think, is that the Baptist Faith and Message? I think that's what we got.
Yeah.
Really? Can you tell me what the Baptist Faith and Message says? And it's, you know, look. I'm not saying you don't go to that church. I'm saying you need to know that before you go to that.
That's
church.
That's right. Yep.
That doctrinal. Now, they may tell you, it is a 1689 confession. Here, do you want a copy? Because we carry them with us everywhere we go. That's going to tell you what kind of church you've got.
Totally.
All right? Yep. Or it's going to be, I don't know that we have one. You just need to know. And I think is really important. And the follow-up question to that is, you know, how do you affirm it? How do you live that out?
Yeah. That's good. Okay, number two. What person, this is a good question. What person is the most powerful member in the church? What group or committee is the most powerful?
Yeah, the most powerful member may not have a position of elected leadership at all.
That's right.
It's a very good point, especially if it's a small church.
Talk to us, Dan, about a person that you might have known in a previous church where you served that was a powerful person that maybe was married to somebody or something but didn't have a particular...
Yeah.
Tell me about that. You got any idea?
Yeah. I mean, boy, lots of examples come to mind. I was in a church where a man was very, very wealthy, and his wife was the organist of the church. But he had nothing, you know, as far as any role in the church itself. But what he did do was every time they got a pastor, he tried to buy them.
Oh yeah.
And he would buy furniture, and he bought one pastor a car, and then he basically owned them.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically wanted to kind of rule over them.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was the organist. She was just the epitome of opposites attract.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Cuz she was just as sweet as they come, just a godly woman.
Yeah.
And he was just the opposite. And you know, in that kind of a situation, what do you do? You know, I mean, yeah. All I could do was say, I knew, by the way, I had been told that this was an MO. So I just right up front, I'd say, nope, nah, I'm not going there.
Really?
You know,
all right.
And that caused some real problems. Mm-hmm. Because he was turned down.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
And he was insulted.
I think it's a great question. Who's the most powerful person, and what's the most powerful committee that you have here?
And, the committee issue is interesting, because the committee, wouldn't you say that most churches would say the most powerful committee would be either the trustees or the deacons or something like that? Or am I?
Well, it could be. They might say, well, you know, it's the finance committee.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Ethel runs that, and we're not going to get any money unless she says it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, well, it's the deacons. You're not going to get anything past the church unless the deacons say it. Or it could be the church council, you know. Or it could be, you know, our committees aren't really functioning. What Lawless is trying to get you to see here is where the real power structure is.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
What the organizational chart says. What's behind the – because the organizational chart, church council is the most important. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it's the finance committee doesn't approve it, or the trustees.
Yep.
Nothing happens in this building unless the trustees say it's okay. You think, well, trustees, they're there just to do what? So I think that's what he's talking about, the clarification on that. Number three, he says, when was the last time your congregation – did church discipline, and would you do it again?
Oh my,
what a great question.
Oh my,
what a great question. They probably, man. Most churches say we've never done it.
Well, for sure. I'm thinking of all the churches we've replanted. I guarantee you that would be a foreign concept, church discipline, to probably most of the churches.
You need to know what the policy is about church discipline, and you need to know if they've done it. And I love what he says, would you do it again? Which means they may have done it and done it really poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now you got to know going in that church discipline is going to be a long, mm-hmm. hard-term process, mm-hmm. because when they did it last time, it split the church.
Yep.
So you got to be aware of that.
Well, and most of them don't even know what it means.
No, they don't.
Know, no, that's right.
Know, the term is vague.
Number four, Dan, what's got for number four there?
Well, how much freedom would I have to hire and fire staff members? This is a loaded question, because it tells you exactly what they think about the pastor's power.
Yeah, that's true. Great. Yes.
I know. I agree. But you need to know that going in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, basically, if you go in and the staff knows you're not the one they're ultimately responsible for, you just have to have a different relationship with them than if you are their... He's talking here about clarity.
Yeah.
And the time to ask these questions, brothers, is before you move very far. He said this is the first questions to ask the pastor search team. I mean, I don't think you wait until you're on their fourth visit and you've already decided to buy a house there.
Yeah.
You know, you want to know, what is my responsibility? Yeah. How much freedom?
Yeah, what are the expectations? Because like you said, you could go either way. If the expectation is, hey, pal, you don't hire and fire anybody.
Right. He's got to go through the search committee.
That's right. Yeah. You want to know that. Or it could be the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, pastor. That's your job. That's what you do. So
that's
clarity.
And I would say, in addition to this, although he doesn't list this one, I would say, well, I'll get to it. Yeah, he actually does. Okay, here's the next one. Are you ready? Would you please connect me with the last two or three pastors you had for a conversation? And if they say no, well, then you're probably that's a red flag.
That's a major red flag.
I want to talk to the last two or three pastors you've had, if they're still available to talk to. Would you be willing to do that for me? And then you need to talk to them. You really do.
That's a great question. That's really good.
It is great. What's the financial condition of the church? He says, I want to know what the real issues are they've been facing. I want to know the percentage of their budget that goes to ministry and missions. I want to see, I would want to see the projection of their budget. Where did it used to be? Where is it now?
Mm-hmm.
All of those kinds of things. Now, give me the next one there, Halleck.
Yeah, number seven would be, does the church have business meetings? And if so, what things must they vote on?
Right. Some churches vote on everything.
Yep.
Other churches vote on nearly nothing.
Yep.
So you want to ask them that.
And how often?
That's another
question.
Yeah, this gets to, if you're Baptist, I mean, our congregationalism, and how does that practically play out?
And I say, what was the one thing? I know you had a stack. The next one is this. You had a stack of resumes that came to you, what was the one thing, the first thing about me that stood out to you?
Oh, yeah, that's a
really good question to ask them. You know, you want to know, what was it? Was it my educational background? Was it my age? Was it some experience I had at a different church? Was it the fact that I was been a staff member at another church? Yep. Was it a relationship that maybe someone knew me from another church? I want to know, what was it that moved me to the top of this list? Mm-hmm. What was the one thing? And that'll really give you insight to kind of what they expect out of you.
And what they value.
And what they value, exactly.
What they value. What like they he, value. Like one of the things Chuck says, he says, to be honest, I think that first church called me primarily because I was young and inexpensive. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, I think it's just knowing what do you value in a pastor, and how do you feel like I align with that?
When I went to, I was 24 years old, right out of seminary. I'd planted one church, and this association in Atlanta, North Atlanta, called me to be their church planting strategist. We were going to plant churches in the northern suburbs of Atlanta and around that area. And these were big churches. I mean, I was actually working a little bit with First Baptist Atlanta, with a Dunwoody Church, even with the Waiuku Road Church. These were some big mm-hmm. churches that were going to help support these new church plants in northern Atlanta. And I remember I was just riding around with the director of missions down there, and I finally said, Dr. King, I got a question to ask. And I said, why would you hire me for this job? I said, I'm 24 years old. I planted one church barely. And he said, he pulled the truck over. We're in a pickup. He said, get out of the truck for a minute. So we got out of the truck. We sat on the tailgate. And he said, he was much older than me. He said, Mark, I just want to be honest with you. He said, for what we can pay, we've decided you're the best we can get. And he was dead serious. If we could pay more, we probably would get somebody better. But I needed to know that, you know? So for what we could pay, you're the best we can get. All right.
I love that he pulled the truck out of the truck.
Yeah. And we sat on the tailgate of the truck.
I'll never forget that.
I was expecting something like, you know, the Holy Spirit moved us, and he just said, I got to be honest with you, son.
We would go with anyone else if we had the money.
Hey, you're the best we can get.
Oh, man, that's funny. Okay, let's see the next one.
If you're interested in me becoming the pastor, here's a great follow-up question is, what about your current staff? Would you hire all of them again?
Whoa. Oh. That's great. That lets you know what they think about their staff.
Oh, yeah. Boy. It also lets you know if it's a negative question. I mean, if it's a negative response, it gives you some great insight into what the underlying problems are that you probably wouldn't ever really hear about in common.
It's a great way to say it, because if you say, you know, tell me about your staff, they may be all around the circle. Mm-hmm. But this is a really good question. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we're going to post these on the show notes. So I would suggest you take this article and keep it available to you to, again, if you're not being interviewed by someone, to help someone who is being interviewed, because the way he words this is really important. Just ask the search committee of all your staff, would you hire them again today?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a really good
why or why
and
not.
A pause at that point where they might go, I suppose. I mean, that's going to tell you something.
Yeah,
you know, and a great question also as a follow-up is there any staff that you would hire back?
That's been gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 10, what will be the most difficult thing a new pastor will have to address in this church?
Ooh, that's
now,
real good.
Now, you may get a lot of responses, but that's really helping you understand where they're coming from, what they see as the most challenging thing you're going to have to tackle.
Yep.
Is it intergenerational ministry? Is it worship style? Is it a lack of evangelism? Is it a low budget? Is it a building that needs repair? Is it
we need to reach young families.
Image in the community, young families, a church that had been split, you know, is there division in the church? That's a really good question. Asking each of those church search committee members. By the way, the search committee, you know what they used to call it when I was a kid?
Huh.
Called it the pulpit committee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it wasn't called a search committee. It was pulpit a pulpit committee. Yeah. It was there to fill the pulpit.
Interesting.
And when I grew up, my dad would have pulpit committees. They'd come visit my dad. I'm coming from a pulpit committee. It's not, you
That's
know,
interesting.
Whatever. Just another history lesson.
There will be
another reason people don't listen to this podcast.
There will be a quiz.
There will be a quiz. Number 11. What have you not told me that you should tell me if you were completely honest? Now, here's the reason. Somebody said they should write a book about the lies search committees tell to pastors and the lies pastors tell to search committees. In other words, if you were being, you probably kept something back, right? You want it. You want me to become your pastor. I understand that. So you're probably making things seem maybe better than they are.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you really probably need to tell me that you haven't told me?
Yeah.
And see what they'd say. That's a really, really good, and many search teams will have an answer, but nobody really pushes them in that direction.
Yeah.
No one's asking the question that way. If you don't ask them that question, they're not going to volunteer it.
That's right. Yep.
So you have to, what's the one thing you've not told me that you should tell me?
Yeah.
Is there something there? And then the last one, in your opinion, is your church that a church that makes hell shake? In other words, are you a church that really is on mission and the Holy Spirit is at work here and makes hell shake, tremble? Mm. Does that happen? Mm. And that'll give you really good insight into their sort of self understanding of who they are and where they are spiritually.
More than likely, the answer is going to be, well, we used to.
Yeah, at some point.
At one time.
So, guys, these are 12 really good questions. Now, there are others, obviously, about salary and benefits and time off and preaching expectations. But these are different. So take some time. Take a look at this list, especially if you're being called to a place, and raise up these questions. And then let us know how it went. I'd like to know how that went. And, again, if you got a friend of yours who's looking to go to a church, share this information with them. And we're thankful for Dr. Chuck Lawless giving this. If it weren't for Chuck Lawless and Tom Rainer, we probably wouldn't even have a podcast. You know, I don't know. We come up with one once in a while. But, hey, thank you for listening. Thank you, Dan, for being here. I flew all the way in from Kansas City just to be here for this today, and we really appreciate that.
And you flew in from Montana.
I flew in. I was in Montana, and Mark just drove down here from his house. I
know. Mark didn't know we were coming, which was really kind of a surprise.
Got a text at midnight. Hey, we're in Denver.
Hey, subscribe to our podcast and check us out 10 times a month. We're coming your way whether you want us to or not.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.